This recording, Holocaust 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Honoroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veteran and a nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job as a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her, more like to her liking. Even so, on the first morning she felt fresh, ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there was a woman waiting with a goose, waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that animals could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising. So normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic. It made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Kama, Kama," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune for her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I was born in Czechoslovakia in 1924. In 1938, there was a Vienna custom where Chamberlain was the Prime Minister of England and Dowager of France. They made a pact with Hitler in order to avoid war. They cut up Czechoslovakia. So the part where I come from, the most eastern part, became Hungary in 1938. In 1944, the same part was occupied by Russia and became part of the Soviet Union. When the Soviet Union, 10, 12 years ago, fell apart, now it's Ukraine. So my country changed my ownership in my lifetime 4 times, and my name changed also, because every time it changed name, it couldn't pronounce it right, you know, different languages. So in 1942, when the war started in 1939, and what happened over there, there was no the army was not a volunteer army. When it came to wartime, all the people eligible age had to go into the army. So finally what happened, when they went in, they realized that there were factories and fields and all kinds, that there was no people to work because they went into the army. So somebody came up with the idea that to take the Jewish people from 16 to 35 and put them in labor camps. Now this was not a concentration camp. Yes, this was a labor camp where we worked whatever job was necessary in the economy. And we were always guarded by soldiers, but we only wore our civilian clothes with a yellow star on it. Anyway, it's a long story. I was in 4 different locations. It's the same labor camp, but during my being there 1 year, I was working in Budapest making blows for the SS and Gestapo. And we had a big warehouse also where they had to change and give out clothes for the soldiers and so on. Last time in November 28, 1944, we were deported to Austria because already the Red Army was already by Budapest, so they kept putting everybody out. And I wound up in Mauthausen, I was liberated in May 1945.